All right. Good morning, worship at the water. So good to see each and every one of you in this place. I hear we have Kaleo in the house. Is that right? All right. Glad to have you all with us. We've missed you. Welcome home. All right. Whether you've been here or not, others have come before you, and we just love having you. You bring excitement. You bring energy. And so we're grateful that God has seen fit to let our paths cross once again. My name is Steve Irwin, and this is my typical gig out here at Worship at the Water. How many of you were here last week when I wasn't here? All right, several of you. All right, I'm the one. I'm so grateful for Cameron. Isn't she amazing? She did a great job last week. Absolutely, clap for her. That's great. We need to be praying for Cameron. She called last night, and she is just got some kind of virus or something. So she is deathly ill and needs prayers. But we kind of tag team this. When I'm not able to be here, you're in her hands. And so you're in good hands when she comes. For those of you that know me from a couple of weeks ago, I look a little bit different. I finally looked in the mirror and realized I was becoming one of Jim Henson's Muppets. My hair was out of place and craziness all over the joint. My eyebrows, I've still not worked on them. They've still got that like Muppet thing going on. And I had hair growing out of my ears. Weird, man. I never thought the day would come when I'd look in the mirror and say, oh my gosh, I'm my dad, you know, with the hair coming out of the ears and all. I've got to find somewhere. I feel caged in. You ever feel that? Caged in? We'll just... ooh, air. And stumble upon a gold mine right there. All right. But it's good to be here with you. I am glad that you've chosen to be here. Whether you're out there in Tiki Town or you're up here in Oyster Bay, we're glad you're here. Let me just say one thing. If you get to the point where the heat starts getting a little too much, we do have air conditioning here in the Oyster Bar. And so if you need to get up and walk over and get into air conditioning, we understand that. It's all good. So just make that available to yourself. All right. Anybody been watching the news over the past week or so? Bad idea, right? It's never good news. It's always bad news. But this week, there has been a lot of things going on where people who have professed to be Christians have had their lives kind of open up and exposed, and they are just getting hammered in the media. Have you seen that? The Duggars, 19 kids and counting. I mean, they've had some issues. I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying the media has had a field day with the Duggars, and they're just pounding this family for some indiscretions from the time of one of their children was 15. Isn't it amazing? Then there's this other Speaker of the House, the Dennis Hastert, where now he's getting pounded because he lived one way and then some behaviors came out. And so folks are just going to the mat, just busting on these folks. I mean, I read on Facebook this past week where someone was crucifying the Duggars for pretending to be this Christian family, all the while they had all these skeletons in their closet, just like the rest of us. It was eye-opening. Got me to thinking, how does the world really view us as Christians? And as I began to think about that and began to explore that some, I realized that the world does not have a good taste in its mouth when it comes to Christianity. I mean, you ask people on the street, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say Christian? Hypocrites typically will be the first word out of their mind, or phony, or posers. You ask them about the church. What's the church all about? And you hear things like, oh, they're judgmental, or they're hateful, or they're bigoted. You know, I got to think that it breaks God's heart that his people called by his name are viewed in such a way. And let's face it, we need to shoulder some of the blame because we've not lived in a manner worthy of the name of Christ at all times. We have kind of put up masks, and we have pretended to be better than we really are, and we've not let the world see us that we are just broken people who are forgiven that are trying to walk this thing out in a daily way. Today, I want us to explore how God wants us to walk together to become all that we were intended to be. we want to hopefully here on Panama City Beach and beyond begin to correct the stereotype and break the mold that people have, this preconceived notion of what Christianity and Christians and church really is. We want to become here at Worship at the Water. We meet in a bar. We want to become that place that's inviting and accepting, telling folks, come as you are and join us here because we're all messed up. Let's be broken together. You see, because Jesus once described life with God as a party where everyone is invited. In Matthew 22, he tells this parable about the kingdom of God being like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And the original people that were invited were not coming. And so he sends his servants out and he says, I want you to go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. He's not being discriminating here. He's like, just invite them all. Anybody that would come, let them come. So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Sadly, this is not the picture that the world has of the church nowadays, is it? I mean, what most people think of when they think of church is that it has a no trespassing sign on the door. Unless you dress like us and act like us and think like us and believe like we do, this is not a place for you to come to. It's far from God's message of grace, isn't it? We're all come. Where he extends the nets and he draws all people unto himself. You know, I got to think about it. You know, if I had to live like that, believe like that, dress like that, who wants that kind of scrutiny? I know I don't. And just think about people that are far from God. Why would they want to be exposed to critique and judgment? Because I think, number one, if you're taking notes today, the number one point is most people feel judged enough already. The world is a difficult place, and all of us get beat up by the world in a daily fashion. We don't need the church to compound that and start going with the atomic elbow on top of us when we're trying to do a little bit better. In Romans chapter 7, Paul voices the frustration that most of us inherently feel. What does he say there? I don't understand myself. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Anybody say amen, Paul? I mean, the bottom line is we want to be better than we truly are. And he goes on to say, instead, I do the very thing I hate. So we want to do right, but we do not just do wrong, but we do the things that we detest or that we hate. I know perfectly well, Paul says, that what I am doing is wrong. We know that. He said, I can't help myself. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me? You see, most of us know that something's not quite right in our lives, even before we come to God. And yet, instead of running to God, we run away from him because of the people who represent him. We kind of run from God, don't we? We instinctively know that something is missing. And so what do? Is we're running from God. We start habits and we start getting into vices and different things, trying to fill the gap, trying to fill the void. But nothing is going to fill the void like Jesus. We're running after the wind. We're not going to ever be able to find that replacement for Jesus. What we really need, that missing element in our life, is God's grace. Where God gives us what we need and takes care of us, not because we earn it or deserve it, but because he provides it freely. We desperately need grace. Everybody needs grace. That's point number two. Everyone needs God's grace. In Romans 8, I love this. Paul has just finished chapter 7. He's like, I'm this miserable person. I don't do what I want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. I'm a wretched person. Who's going to save me? What's going to happen? And then Romans 8:1 happens. So now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Jesus Christ from the power of sin that leads to death. That's good medicine right there. That's just what the doctor ordered for me. I don't know about you, but to know that God's Spirit, God's grace can free me from this law of sin and death, this cycle of living that is fruitless and winds itself up in death. Do we have any gym members here? How many card-carrying gym members do we have? All right, we got a few. All right, what's your favorite piece of equipment? If you had to say what your favorite piece of equipment would be, would you say it's the free weights? Maybe not. Some of them. Maybe it's the elliptical. The elliptical's pretty good. Or the tread machines, the treadmills. Do they still? You know what my favorite piece is? I love the Stairmaster. I may not look like it, but I love the Stairmaster. I can look at that thing without blinking for like 45 minutes. All right, I just sit across the room and I look at the Stairmaster and I stare it down and I feel so much better when I leave. Yeah, okay. I was actually thinking about getting one at the house just so it'd make it a lot easier and I'd save some gas money. But you know, do they still have stationary bikes at the gym? Stationary bikes. That's got to be the craziest thing in the world, where you just pedal, and it even tells you how fast you're going and how far you've gone, only for you to step off and to be right where you started. You know, I think that's the way it is with sin. As Paul is talking about this cycle of, I try to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing, so I try harder, and what I wind up is I'm right at the same place. Sin locks us down. And despite our best efforts and all of our energy, we go nowhere. Sin just keeps us locked in this cycle of attempting and failing. I want to do right, I do wrong. I try harder. I try to do right, I do wrong. I try even harder. No wonder the world is just broken down and exhausted from trying, but having nothing to free them from this stationary cycle of sin so that they can make progress and get away from it. You see what grace does? Grace unhitches the bike and sets you free. It allows you to go and to do and to be. It distances you from where you once were to where God wants to take you, and allows you not to have a stationary bike, but a bike that can get you places. God moves us, and he desires by his grace to move us from that stationary bike of sin, that state of fear and judgment and condemnation, to a place of full acceptance as his adopted children. Romans 8 says, you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should instead be like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And the word there is Daddy. We should understand that God wants us to call him Father, to call him Daddy. Because then it goes down further in Romans chapter 8. It says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. Jesus has paid the price, and now we get that for free. And then he goes on down, Paul says, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his great love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't, our fears today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away from us. That's from the New Living Translation. So if the wording sounds different than what you've heard, that's why. I love the fact that God is interested in taking anyone. We don't have to clean up before we come to God. He's willing to take us just as we are. No matter what we've done, how bad we've been, how many times we've tried and failed, he wants to take us just as we are and get us off of that sin stationary bike, that place of shame and condemnation and death. He wants to bring us into full acceptance so that we can be his adopted children. Why would God do that? Because he's crazy about you. So many of us have this mindset that God is mad at us. He's just waiting for us to step out of line so he can slap us down and straighten us up. God's not mad at us. God is mad about us. And when we come to that place where God really is for us and not against us, that's when the grace begins to be real and we can embrace it and watch what God does with it. Because ultimately, the third point, only God can save people. The Bible tells us it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Anybody ever watch that TV show, American Pickers? It's a reality show where these guys, they travel all over America and they love to dig in barns and they go for antiques and just odd objects. And what's amazing to me is they always find jewels in the junk. They find treasure in the trash. Think about it this way. That's kind of like our lives, isn't it? If you found somebody or if you've got a neighbor or a friend or a family member and they're a little messed up, we need to be able to see the treasure beneath the stuff. Let's think about it this way. Let's say you were digging through some rubble and you found a Rembrandt painting, but it was covered in mud and it was almost unrecognizable. It's a mess. There doesn't look to be any value at all. Would you treat it like mud? No. You've got something beautiful, one of a kind here. You'd be ecstatic that you have found this exquisite masterpiece. And so you'd begin to treat it with great care. And instead of trying to do it yourself and clean it up yourself, you would take it to a professional. You'd take it to a master who deals in art restoration. And they would take it and they would clean it and they would restore it to its originally intended condition without further damaging it. That's what God does with us. God sees in us the masterpiece. And he knows that we've been covered in mud and we're not what we ought to be. But he sees the work that he can do to create in us the original purposes for which he created us. You see, God works his power in us because then he wants to work his power through us to reach others. That's point number four. God saved us to reach others. For we are God's workmanship, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What that basically says is you are who you are, and God has created you the way you are because you play a part in his plan. You belong on the team. You're part of the family. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the roles we can play in creating this culture of grace and becoming this kind of church where people are inviting and accepting and creating this culture of come as you are. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is really anything, but only God who makes things grow. And then he goes on to say, we are God's fellow workers. Isn't that amazing? God invites us into the process. Each person plays a part and has a role. And then when we embody this grace to the world, we call out the hidden masterpiece covered in mud in the people that come around us. What we can see the value that maybe they can't even see in themselves, and we know where to turn them to and where to point them to. God calls us to create a place of grace where people can get connected with him, with his love, his transforming power, his light, and his life. That's why God sent us Jesus, isn't it? Jesus was grace with skin on. He wanted us to have a true demonstration of what grace looked like, and so God sent Jesus. And now Jesus has gone back to be with the Father, but he has sent the Holy Spirit to us so that we can now be the extensions of God's ministry and God's grace into the world. And we do that by loving and accepting people right where they are and pointing them to the Father who can get the mud off, who can restore the beauty, who can restore their purpose. I love the fact that in instance after instance in the New Testament, when you read about Jesus, when you see the stories he tells, when you see him interacting with people, there aren't two categories of people with Jesus. There's not good people and bad people. He treats everybody the same. What Jesus said is there's one category. It's God's masterpiece muddied. God's masterpiece that has been broken because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. None of us are perfect. None of us have this thing figured out. Some people recognize it and they run to God. Others wander around trying to figure out what's missing. It's our job as the church, as these broken people who God's cleaning up and restoring our purpose, to help them get connected with the one who can get rid of the mud and who can heal the brokenness. So what happens if we do that? What happens if right here at Sharkey's, we become this place of grace where people are invited to come as they are? What happens if we accept people, but they never change? What happens if we say, come as you are, and they stay that way? That's a huge risk, isn't it? But can I tell you something? We're just going to have to give that to God. That's not for us to make happen. We're just called to be faithful and obedient. The results, they're up to God. We can invite people to this place of grace. We can point them to the Master. But ultimately, the decision is up to them. It's not our job to make them into our image. It's for God's Spirit to convict and to convince them to become more like Him. When I think about my life, maybe you could think about your life. Think about where you were before Christ. Maybe how far from God you were, and how your activities and your actions and your attitudes and your words really had nothing to do with the body of Christ. It really had nothing to do with God language or God actions. And God came close. And God came near. Have you seen over the period of time where He's drawn you from where you once were to the place where you are? But here's the beautiful thing. He's not done with us, is He? There's a place where He wants us to be. That's the fifth point. God invites us to come as we are, but He doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants it to be a process. He wants us to come wherever and however we are, but then to allow Him to mold us and make us, to form us and shape us into new creatures. He wants us to embrace the Master's hand, to embrace Him as He is cleaning the picture, as He is restoring its beauty. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 6. It's kind of my paraphrase. Should we continue to do wrong so that grace may increase, that grace, God's grace may continue and really look good? And the answer to that is no. No, we need to embrace the grace that embraces us and allow it to change us. You see, the purpose of grace is not so that we can keep doing wrong and hurtful and unloving things. The purpose of grace is to enter us into this new state of acceptance with God, where we begin, maybe slowly but surely, looking more and more like Him, acting more and more like Christ, being more grace-giving to others. That's what God's intent is for us, so that instead of feeling condemned and running from Him, we let Him guide us and change us and transform us into His masterpiece restored. That's what God wants for you. For you to claim your beauty. For you to claim your purpose. For you to claim your place in the kingdom. Your rightful place as His son or daughter. The question is, are we going to be willing to accept growth as a process, as individuals and as a church? Can you be okay with a messy place, especially if God's okay with it? My question for you today is, would you be willing to help us create this place to be that kind of place? This messy place of grace where people come in and they're broken and they may not say the right things and they may not act the right way and they may just be absolutely out there living in the world and for the world. but that we would say, you come here and let us love on you and let us talk to you about God and let us teach you about his ways in the hopes that they will come to know what we have found, what we know to be true. You see, I believe that God will give us a chance to make a big, big difference in this area if we will sign and go along with his plan. Maybe I'm foolish about that, but I think if God's people start doing things God's way, we will have to find another restaurant to start a second service. Because I truly believe that God's in the business of looking for lost people. And if lost people know that they can be loved and that they've found family and a place that'll take them just as they are and help them figure it out, walk with them and not judge them, I think that's the kind of place that the world's looking for. Maybe today you're here and this is the kind of place you've been looking for. You're a mess. Can I tell you, just look around. You're in good company. We're all a mess. We are all muddied masterpieces. Those of you that have been here a while, you know my story, that I have mental health issues. I struggle with depression. I take medication for it. There are days when I don't want to get out of bed. There are Sundays where I don't want to come and be your pastor. There are days when I struggle with anger and rage because of past hurts and habits and hang-ups. I don't have this thing figured out. The reason I tell you that is, would you come walk with me in this messy place of grace where it's okay to be who we are and that we are broken and messed up? Would you come walk with me in that? We invite you to that journey. And if you're somebody that's come here today for the first time and you're like, you know what? I've been longing for this. You mean that God will take me right as I am today? Yes. It's as simple as this. You inviting God to take all that you know of him, you receive that as you give him all that you know of yourself. It's a process of discovery. God, as I, all that I know about myself, I give to all that I know about you. Doesn't mean we've got it all figured out. It means as we walk along this trail, there'll be other places and other things that we'll learn in time. And God, we're going to give those to you when you reveal those. And as we learn more about you, we're going to take more of you into ourselves. That's conversion. That's salvation. And it's done this easy. Jesus, I realize there is a God. I'm not him. I'm a mess. Would you come into my life and fill me up with your presence and begin the process of restoring this masterpiece? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen me to live for you. And when I stumble and fall, help me to get back up and walk with you again. If you have said that prayer, you're in the family. We'd like to know that. In the card that you were given in your bulletin, that's a connection card. We're interested in you. It's not about your information. I don't care what your address is. I don't care about your phone number unless you want me to call you. We have a place on there that talks about first-time commitments to Christ, or a place there if you're interested in joining with this covenant body, this group of people we call Woodlawn Worship at the Water. We're interested in helping you there. We're interested in your prayer requests. And so today, I hope that you'll fill out that card, not because we want your information, but because we want to walk with you as your family. And I get those cards. No one else gets those cards. I get them. And I pray over them throughout the week. I covenant with you about that. That if you'll take time to write out what's going on in your life, I will pray with you about what's going on in your life. And that God will come and walk with you. Okay? We don't take up an offering here. We set up tackle boxes at the exits. If you want to give something to the work of fishing for men and women, we'd gladly receive that. It'll go into the ministry and the mission here. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But that's also where you're going to put your prayer request. That's why I let you know about the tackle box, because that's where those connection cards will go. All right? So let's pray together as the band comes up to lead us in that last song. God, we thank you today for your word, that it is living and active, that you can send it out and it can minister to our hearts, and that it won't return void unto you without first accomplishing the purpose for which you sent. God, send your word today. Heal our disease. Heal our sin sickness. Mend our brokenness. God, help us to be broken people walking together for the transformation of Panama City Beach and the world. This is our prayer today, God, and we just humbly ask that you would do your work and have your way amongst us as we pray these things in the strong but gentle name of Jesus. And everybody that gathered in the house said, amen.